The Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission is meeting this week in Manila with, quote, a mandate to sustainably manage and ensure long-term conservation of all highly migratory fish stocks, including tunas and sharks, in the Western and Central Pacific Ocean. A decline in shark populations, for example, hits at the very heart of marine ecosystems, and that's one of many issues the commission will address. Attorney Linda Paul is a former member of the Western and Central Pacific Fishery Commission and Federal Advisory Council. She's with us in our studio to provide us with an overview. Linda, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Good morning.
What's the importance of a meeting like this, the Fisheries Commission meeting?
Well, most people don't realize that fisheries beyond our 12-mile national boundary, ocean boundary, are actually managed by this commission. And the commission meets every year, and it has committees that meet in between times. Mm-hmm. And it discusses basically catch allocations. The treaty itself is a result of, it's what's called the bottom of the food chain in terms of, or the top of the food chain in terms of a nested treaty. The United States Law of the Sea set some standards for high seas fisheries management, and mm-hmm. then there was a United Nations implementation agreement that fleshed that out. And then underneath that are a series of regional fishery management agreements that are managed by these regional fishery management commissions, otherwise known as RFMOs. And this commission that manages the fisheries that involve Hawaii are meeting this week.
So what kind of things do these commissions decide?
They decide, fisheries management itself is really managing catch and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Catch is how much you can take, and effort is how many hooks, how many nets, what kinds of things you can put into catching that fish.
Mm-hmm.
And there is more effort out there than there are fish to go around. So people fight about catch and how much they get. And our tuna stocks in the Pacific are caught basically in three ways, with purseines. And purseine fisheries catch the stuff you buy in canned tuna. Mm-hmm. That's skipjack mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Sushi and sashimi that we find on our plates are caught mainly by longline fishing. Longline fishermen are in that vessel that was off Waikiki for so long.
Was
a longline fisher. And mm-hmm. the way they catch things is they put a long string of hooks, and they pull it in. So that fishery is managed by how many hooks you can put on that line and how many times you can set that line. And then the third major fishery is an albacore trolling fishery, but that doesn't affect Hawaii much because that fishery's in the South Pacific mm-hmm. right now.
How are all these agreements enforced? That's the tricky part,
isn't
it?
That is the tricky part. It's basically trust. A country sign the treaty, and then they sit in a room like they are right now and decide, okay, we're willing to live with this much of a catch allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a fight between the longline interests and the purseine interests, oddly enough, even though they target different species, because the purseine fishing method involves setting around what they call fish aggregation devices.
Mm-hmm.
They circle it with a net, and then they pull the purse strings tight, and they catch a lot of fish in this ball of fish. But also attracted to these balls of skipjack are the bigger tunas, such as big eye tuna,
mm-hmm.
and juvenile big eye tuna and juvenile yellowfin, most importantly. So there's a fight between, is it the little fish that's important or the big fish that's important, about preserving a stock.
Which is the method that gives you most of the unwanted fish in your catch? We hear about a lot of fish being caught in the net that are not what the fisher folk are looking for.
That's the fish aggregation device, the FADs, is what they're commonly called to.
And those are pretty controversial. There's several agenda items in this conference discussing them, right?
That's right. They're free-floating things. They have a transponder on them so you can track them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constructed to have all of these filamentous nets and things hanging off of them in the water, which attracts fish but attracts all kinds of other things. Turtles, for example,
mm-hmm.
Juvenile fish. A log floating in the ocean is a fad, and fishermen traditionally, historically, fished on logs for that reason.
Uh-huh.
And the bigger tuna in the bottom will dry the little ones up, and the birds will. There's a lot of stuff going on around a fat. It's this mini ecosystem, is what it is.
You end up catching a lot of sharks this way, sharks that you're not trying to catch, right?
Sharks are caught mostly by the long line.
By the long lines?
Yes. And the controversy over sharks is they used to cut sharks loose when they caught them. And then the market for shark fins.
Now they just cut off the fins and throw them back in.
Correct.
To die a rather unpleasant death at the hands of other sharks.
They sink to the bottom and starve to death, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's a quite a bit of controversy in this area as well, right?
Yes, it is. We had a shark finning ban. We were the last state in the United States to still fish for shark fins. And that the Hawaii State Legislature stepped into that breach and passed a measure that said that sharks had to be kept on board. Then that measure went to the United States Congress, and it got softened, and it said, well, you can land fins and not with the sharks, but the ratio between fins to sharks can only be a 5% weight ratio. And that proved to be totally unenforceable. So the next step, of course, is to just, if you catch a shark, you have to keep it.
Much of what you've described sounds pretty unenforceable, Linda.
Yes. You should interview the Coast Guard and ask them how they like to enforce it.
But, I mean, whose kuleana is it to enforce these regs?
It's the flag states. For example, in this fishery that's out there that the commission's talking about, there are coastal states and there are distant water fishing states. Hawaii is both. So the distant water fishing states, for example, of Japan, Taiwan, People's Republic, Korea, they come to agreements, access agreements, with the coastal states of the South Pacific about how much of the South Pacific's tuna they can catch. Now, even though these are straddling stocks, they go both in coastal waters and out in the high seas, mm-hmm. The South Pacific's fishing nations believe that those fish that go out that are found within 200 nautical miles are their fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the exclusive economic zone. We feel the same way. But nevertheless, all of these treaties mandate that those stocks be managed compatibly between the coastal state waters and the high seas waters. So there are treaties down there that basically these distant water fishing, bilateral and multilateral treaties, setting aside the commission, that decide how much these states will give them in catch shares that they can catch.
It would seem that there is so much at stake from an economic point of view, to say nothing of the political ramifications of all these countries, that it would be extremely difficult to find agreement on some of these subjects. Was that your experience in past meetings?
Yes. I've been involved in this process since the treaty was being negotiated here in Honolulu, and it's like watching paint dry. It's basically, and it's also fairly high level, which is not good for fisheries management. So when most of the work gets done in committees, but when you come to a commission meeting like the one in Manila, you have states posturing, politically posturing, because
mm-hmm.
they've got people at home they have to please. They don't want to give away the store, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's fisheries. This is not the way to manage fisheries. It's like a snail pace way of managing fisheries. And as a result, when the treaty was concluded back in 2000, none of these fisheries were in trouble. And now they're deeply in trouble. And we were supposed to stay ahead of the curve, and we didn't stay ahead of it.
Something didn't work out, did it?
No.
Thanks very much for coming in, Linda.
Thank you.
Attorney Linda Paul is a former member of the Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission Federal Advisory Council.